Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Might play what I did with Rand there on Saturday for Drive Radio because he asked a ton of questions. Although, Andy, you had a couple of questions that you wanted to add to what Rand asked that we might as well go ahead and finish up on.
Okay, just minor stuff. I don't have any major concerns about electric cars, never have. But one is we're coming into winter. Okay, first of all, of course, they're not going to run as far on a charge in the winter because
their capacity is cut back some, yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big deal. Most people just use them around the urban area, so it's not a big deal, but I'm just throwing that out. And secondly, what if you get caught in a snowstorm, and I mean really caught? I wouldn't want to be caught in a place where you are going to have to spend hours using the heater and on that charge, and then you still need that charge to get home. That to me would be a bit of a concern, just determining where would I go. In other words, in the middle of winter, I'm not taking that thing even very far up the mountains, probably.
That's a great question. And again, what you'd want to do, of course, is have the vehicle charged up all the way,
right,
knowing that you're full charge. And my wife runs to Breckenridge and back with ours in the wintertime, has never had an issue, whether you're in traffic or not. The one thing to remember is when you're in traffic and you're just sitting there, you're using very little power on all of the systems in the EV itself because you're not moving.
Okay.
Just running the heater, for example, running some of those sorts of things, the lights, the wipers, and so on, it's not using hardly any energy. In fact, all those are being run off the 12-volt battery that the EV batteries, the DC EV batteries, are being converted to energy to actually charge the 12-volt battery. So there's very little consumption of the large DC battery that's in the vehicle itself at that point. So there's very little draw, if you would, you know, kilowatt-wise. And most of the cars, by the way, all the EVs will tell you. If you're just sitting still, it'll tell you exactly how much am I drawing. For example, in mine, when you're running in the heat, so in your same thing, you're in the heat, you're running the AC, you've got all that going on.
Sure.
Most of the EVs I've driven will draw about 1 kilowatt an hour sitting there.
Okay.
That's it. And keep in mind, most of the batteries are going to be 100 kilowatt total. So think about how long you could sit there if you had a decent charge. You wouldn't want to leave empty. By the way, you're not going to want to do that anyways. You're going to want to leave with a full battery. If you do, the likelihood of you being, you know, stranded is pretty slim.
Okay.
Pretty slim. But that's a great question, Andy. And Charlie, did you have one more question along those lines, too? Did I get all that answered? The other thing Charlie said was, how do they do in the snow themselves? And which was a great question. So for those of you that are listening, this, again, comes down to what tires does it have on it? Did you buy a single motor, which is typically front-wheel drive, or did you buy a dual-motor EV, which means they're all-wheel drive? I'll tell you right now, with the right tires in the right mode setting, which each car has the snow mode setting, if you've got the right tires, the right mode setting, and the weight of that vehicle, you can go anywhere you want to.
Well, yeah, it's very heavy. It's pushing down heavily on the tires.
Correct. The heavier the vehicle, the better it's going to do in the snow,
right,
because you've got more pressure there to actually do that.
Well, and does it make a big difference to have that weight evenly distributed?
Which it pretty much is, because that battery is sitting underneath all the floorboards, meaning it's going all the way across front to back.
Okay.
To your point, meaning you don't, like a truck where you put sandbags in the back, because even though it's a
exactly.
heavier vehicle, the back end isn't, and
fishtail.
No, you're not doing that on an EV, because that platform, to your point, is distributed out evenly front to back, meaning you've got distributed weight very well.
Well, and on top of that, you have very smooth power.
Correct. Now, last but not least, I'm glad Andy just mentioned
because
that.
Because herky-jerky power, what does that do? That slips.
That's right. So, Andy just mentioned something great, which I'm glad he did. The biggest, for me personally, the biggest reason in owning an EV is the performance side. For those of you that have never driven one.
It's a rocket.
Yeah, don't knock it till you try it. Because the problem is, and Richard and I have even talked about this, my wife and I have even talked about this, when you drive an EV for any kind of length of time at all, and then you go get back in a regular gasoline-powered vehicle, it's like, holy cow, where'd all my power go? Because even pulling out into traffic is a completely different experience from a gasoline diesel-powered engine than it is an EV, because that power is instantaneous. Even on some of the lower-end EVs that don't have, you know, they're not a performance vehicle or anything along those lines, the 0 to 40 time on any of those EVs is like second to none. There's very few vehicles, unless you're in a really high-performance vehicle, you know, Corvette, Lamborghini, Ferrari, right, something right. like that, you're typically, even your 0 to 40 time, Andy, won't be as great as it is in some of those, you know, $25,000 EVs. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. That's how quick they actually are.
Well, it's instant transference of power.
And last but not least, at our elevation, everybody forgets this as well, at our elevation, you can take a performance car that makes, you know, 500 horsepower. Unless it's supercharged or turbocharged and you're adding air, a naturally aspirated engine, as you go up in elevation and there's less air, performs more poorly.
Right.
Because you don't, an engine's a big air pump. Less air, less fuel, less power. That doesn't happen on an EV. The way an EV performs at sea level or at 11,000 feet is exactly the same. They do not change from what's at sea level to where we are right now, which all of you driving don't realize. But if you took your existing vehicle and even drove to Kansas, where the sea, you know, where you're lower in elevation by probably 3,000 feet, you'll notice a power difference even going to Kansas versus where we are in Denver. And as you go up the hill, it even gets less and less and less powerful. That is the other advantage that an EV has, is it is a flat line no matter what elevation you're at as far as the power is concerned.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Now, last but not least, my wife doesn't use this feature, but I do. So does Richard. I love it. In fact, it's the best part about driving an EV. We call it one-pedal driving. Meaning when you let off the gas, the regenerative brake, let off the accelerator pedal, I should say. It's not gas, but you let off the pedal. There's regenerative braking, meaning that if you learn how to use the pedal correctly, you rarely, if ever, hit the brake pedal. You let the vehicle do its slowing down and speeding up. That's the one advantage an electric car has, is you rarely ever push on the brake pedal, because if you drive correctly with the accelerator pedal, you never have to push the brake because the vehicle slows down automatically as you literally come all the way up to a stoplight, stop sign, whatever it happens to be. It is the easiest way you could ever drive, and it really spoils you, because then when you get in a regular vehicle, you're like, oh, crap, I got to push the brake now.
Oh.
You don't have to in an EV. They literally slow down quickly enough that in some cases you'll find yourself feathering the accelerator pedal just to keep things moving along, because it will literally take you completely to a stop.
Okay.
So again, for all of you listening, a lot of conservatives that hate them, don't hate it till you try one. You know, don't knock it till you try it, sort of a thing, because for a lot of you that are out there listening, they probably fit the bill more than you actually think they would. We'll play this again as we get into Drive Radio coming up this weekend as well. So if some of you want to replay that or listen to that again, we'll actually do that. Might even take that little excerpt out and put it on the website all on its own, because Rand and Andy both, you guys asked a lot of great questions that went into that.
5-second answer. Subsidies going away, do you think they'll lower the prices a little bit?
I think they're going to have to. Yeah, they're going to have to.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely, Andy. I think they will. Or they'll have some other incentives when it's all said and done. So that's it for hour number one. We'll be back hour number two in a moment. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.